Right now it's time to ask Amy. And Halloween is a tough time for adults, a delicate balance. Do you hand out candy or, shudder, something healthy? How do you prevent your kids from eating too much, all while dealing with the dangers of pumpkin carving and glue guns? And the costume trend nowadays for girls seems to call for fishnets with everything from sexy nurse to sexy policewoman. Sexy garbage collector can't be far away. Here to help is a special Halloween edition of Ask Amy. Amy Dickinson, syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, is with us, and she can help you with everything except the glue gun. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org, and you can howl on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Amy Dickinson with us today from Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, which must be decked out with Halloween festoonings.
Well, there's nothing quite like a small town at Halloween, especially in the Northeast, where fall has really descended. We've been having this spectacular full moon, and all I can say is, whoa, really great and scary. I was driving through my hometown today, and I caught my neighbor out front digging a fresh grave in his front yard.
And I'm from the Northeast, and I was scared every time when it's too warm for Halloween. It should be nippy.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have where I am, we will have the absolutely perfect conditions for Halloween tomorrow night. Upper 40s, really crisp and clear, full stars in the sky. It's really going to be great. But one thing I'm concerned about is, as usual, you know, remember when Halloween used to be great? It was all about kids. Mm-hmm. It was all about being scary. The grown-ups, it seems, like everything else, the grown-ups came along and kind of ruined it. Halloween is now the second most commercial holiday after Christmas. It is, it's been almost completely appropriated by adults. And here's what I love. We adults, we will let our kids go to see Saw 3.
Four this weekend, yes.
Four. And yet, we're really nervous about the scary costumes that they might choose to wear. At my local school, they've decided not to have a costume day, but to have a pajama day.
Because costumes are too scary?
Costumes can be both scary and they can be inappropriate. As you pointed out, lots of girls lately seem to want to go in kind of a sexy direction, which is people don't like, and they shouldn't. and it's basically the costume thing is hard to control. And so schools are trying to control it by basically
ducking the issue.
Ducking it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll take calls on any or all of those questions with Ask Amy, 800-989-8255. Here's an email we got from Susan in McHenry, Illinois. What's Amy's opinion on how old is too old for trick-or-treating? We've gone through this disagreement for years, one child after another, as they reach the age that we think is too old for this activity.
Well, I love this question. I actually been dealing with this in my column. I got a wonderful letter from a 14-year-old who said that her mother had cut her off from trick-or-treating this year. And so I ran the letter. I actually feel that Halloween, the younger kids go out in a wave between maybe 5 and 6:30. Mm-hmm. That's all about the little kids. I feel like after that, if there's candy left, I'll give it to anyone. And I love actually having – my whole deal is you have to dress up in a costume.
Right.
Don't come to my house. Just hand out. I really want to see teens dressed in costumes. But when I ran the letter, I heard back from a lot of teens who had found really creative ways to get around the whole trick-or-treating thing. One way is one teen wrote in and said that she and her friends dressed up and they did kind of a canned food drive, collecting food that they then took to a shelter. And in the course of doing that, also received a lot of candy.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
So,
yeah.
But that's a very productive way to do it. The rule that we had in our house is if you're not willing to dress in a really dumb costume, then you're too old.
Well, see, that's the thing. Well, then when I ran the letter about teens who had chosen to do kind of useful things at UNICEF, etc., I got a letter. Actually, I got it yesterday from a teenager who basically, and I love this letter because this kid said, you know what? I'm going to go out. I'm going to come trick-or-treating. And if you don't give me candy, basically it was kind of veiled threats.
Huh.
And I emailed this kid back and I said, what are you going to you going to knock over a candy shop if I don't give you candy? You know, but But actually, that's what I love about Halloween. I love how a little everything gets a little out of control.
Hmm. Let's see if we get a caller on the line. This is Ryan. Ryan with us from, where is this in New York? Yaphank?
Yaphank, yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I'm a teacher. I have an example of parents being out of control once again, and that is where they start to one-up each other. Parents are spending so much money, and then, you know, their child, they want their child to have the best costume, and it just keeps growing and growing out of control.
So those aren't sequins on that princess gown. Those are real diamonds.
Well, have you checked out the costume shop? It's amazing how much those, you know, simple costumes can cost.
I guess that's another reason some schools might go for that pajama alternative, Amy.
Right, and I have to ask you what you're doing at your school tomorrow.
My school actually allows it. For kindergarten and first grade, they have a costume parade, but all parents, all kids have to dress in basic costumes. They can't have any weapons that go with it or anything like that, anything that they carry. But I've worked at schools where Halloween, you're not even allowed to bring up the word Halloween.
Really?
Yes. Yep. And that happened to be because of influence of religious parents that go to the school.
I thought it was encouraging paganism.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, this has come up at our local school because there are a number of families that don't celebrate Halloween. I've also gotten letters about this for my column. And my reaction to this is that it's fine not to celebrate Halloween. You know, I think we have this idea that our kids, everything always has to be the same for all of our kids. It's like every kid, you know, we can't deny them any experience for cultural reasons. But I feel very comfortable saying to a kid, yes, other people do this, but we don't do it. It's fine. But what's happening is that schools are now very uncomfortable dealing with the whole thing, and they're pretty much outlawing the whole thing. Now, when my daughter was young, her primary school didn't want any scary costumes. So here's what I love. This was the 90s in Washington, D.C., a bunch of these little second and third graders came as Bill Clinton's and Monica Lewinsky's. I thought, well, now that's pretty scary.
Can I make one more point?
Very quickly, if you would.
I will. Another thing that other schools that I've worked at have done is allowed students to dress up as their favorite book characters to get around it.
That's another way around it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And happy Halloween.
The same to you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Terry. Terry from Kansas City.
Yes.
Go ahead.
My fiance and I found that the best way to deter our daughter from dressing in a sexy costume is to join in with her. She wanted to be a little sexy punk rock girl for Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and she's 8. We didn't like that. So we said, okay, that's fine, but we're going to do the same thing.
So,
yeah, it sort of worked, but we ended up all having to look like a bunch of punk rockers for our neighborhood Halloween party this past weekend.
So she called your bluff.
She did. She called our bluff, definitely. But we all had fun, so.
And what is she going as tomorrow?
Probably the same thing, but we talked her out of the fishnets because it's going to be a little chilly. We told her maybe some black leggings would be okay and, you know, some long sleeves.
And maybe an overcoat.
And yes, definitely.
Okay, all punk rockers wear overcoats. Tell her that.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Terry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we get one last caller on the line. This is Michael. Michael with us from San Antonio.
Yes, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and we had this tradition where you have to tell a joke every time you get candy at a different house.
Does it have to be a different joke?
No, it can be the same joke, but as I've moved to other cities, the kids come to the house, and I'm like, don't you know any jokes? And it's just kind of, I think it's a St. Louis thing. So just want to throw that in there.
Go ahead, Amy. I'm sorry.
You know, that's like the best thing I have ever heard in my life. I love that.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, and it makes the night fun, and they just go get candy for free. You know, they have to do something to earn it.
Little stand-up. What was your joke?
I knew you were going to ask that. I can't think of any, right? I'm not a very good joke teller. Maybe it didn't help, but anyway, yeah, I don't have any good jokes today.
If it was a bad joke, you got the box of raisins. If it was a good one, you got the bar of Snickers?
Yeah, some people used to do that, definitely. Better joke, more candy.
Well, there's a new way to measure things. That's great. Amy, where you grew up, did they have that tradition? They certainly didn't in North Jersey.
No, but we did have flaming bags of poo. That was like our trick. So
that was the
we were big on the tricks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael, have a happy Halloween.
You too.
Amy, what are you going as tomorrow?
You know, when was the last time you saw an actual hobo, Neil?
It's been a while.
That's me.
You're going as a hobo.
Yeah, I'm going to be a hobo. It's going to be so much fun. Actually, our town is just cuckoo on Halloween. I absolutely love it.
Amy, have a great Halloween.
Thank you.
Amy is part of our regular Ask Amy segment. Our show's not over. We're talking with Amy Dickinson, the author of the Ask Amy syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We were doing nightmares earlier. Getting the clock wrong. There's your there's your radio host nightmare. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Carlos. Carlos with us from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, Carlos. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just want to relate an incident that happened about 4 years ago. I had a bunch of teenagers come to the door, and these were kids between 14 and 16. It was at the end of the night, and I gave them about 4 or 5 pieces of candy, and they said, this is not enough. This is not. I said, well, that's all I have. You know, it's the end of the night. And I closed the door, and then 20 seconds later, bang, the window on the second floor is broken with a stone.
With a stone?
Yes. And then I called the cops, and the cops came with well-pressed uniforms and a shiny car, and they said, they started laughing. I said, oh, you don't have insurance, do you? And that was the end of that.
Boys will be boys. It's Halloween. Forget about it.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to the opera, and in the last 3 years or 4 years, we either go visiting friends who are not Halloween, you know, aficionados, mm-hmm. or we go to the show, or we go to after dinner.
Hmm.
And I should say one more thing that, you know, I have a great dislike for a columnist who set the rules for the rest of humanity.
Well, then I'm so glad you called. Thank you, Carlos.
You know, just another fan, Neil. But you know what? He makes a great point. That is really, really frightening, horrifying. And I don't blame him or his family for choosing not to participate. Honestly, that's awful.
And should the rule be that, I know you hesitate to make rules for the rest of us, Amy, but should the rule be that if there's no jack-o'-lantern or decoration on a door, hey, go down to the next door?
Yeah, I mean, I think the universal rule is if the porch light is off, you move along. And there's no excuse for vandalism, obviously, ever.
But you did say, Halloween, the trick part, kind of the thrill is that things can get a little out of control.
Well, I do like the feeling. I certainly liked it as a kid, that idea that you were never quite sure what was going to happen. And actually, I think that's one of the good things about Halloween for children is that it's actually a good thing to be a little bit scared. And in the previous segment on nightmares, you were talking about it. And I really see Halloween as an opportunity for kids to kind of process some of their fears. Unfortunately, the more we commercialize it and snatch it from kids, the less able they're going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we could get one more caller in. This is Clay. Clay with us from St. Louis.
Yes, I just want to ask you one question. Why was the skeleton afraid to cross the street?
Clay, why was the skeleton afraid to cross the street?
He had no guts. We did the same thing in St. Louis, and I found that they also did the same thing back in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You had to tell a joke, and I think Halloween is great, and I think it's one of the few times in poorer neighborhoods where charity was abundant.
Yes, I remember the UNICEF boxes that we used to take around. Was that the joke you used when you went trick-or-treating?
It's one of the ones that I got told last year.
It's one of the ones you got told last year, so this is still making the rounds.
Correct.
All right, it's almost worth it to go to St. Louis to hear the humor. Thanks very much, Clay. Here's an email we got from Paul. I always hand out beer to the parents of the young children. I'm always the first house they stop at in my block.
Wow, that's bold. That's pretty bold.
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, this idea that fear is a useful part. There's that great scene in Meet Me in St. Louis
Well, who could forget with the flower? In fact, all these calls from St. Louis, I love it because it reminds me of it. It's actually one of my favorite scenes in any movie when those kids go up to this scary house that they are convinced in is inhabited by the meanest man in town. And, of course, they learn later that that's not quite the case. But the way they terrify themselves in the process with no adults around to prompt it, to make them feel better, they scare themselves silly. And it's a really wonderful scene.
And watching that little girl screw up her courage and go... throw the flower at the man. Of course, she later came back to scare the daylights out of all of us in The Bad Seed. But nevertheless, that's a great cinematic moment. Where's Murray Horowitz when we need him? Amy, thanks very much for being with us. This time the show really is over.
Thank you, Neil.
Amy Dickinson is part of our regular Ask Amy segment. Her syndicated advice column is published by the Chicago Tribune. She joined us today from the studios at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.